This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2295. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily shortwave. On this edition, recorded May 15, 2025. Australia, Azerbaijan, Brazil, Chad, Cuba, Europe, Germany, Indonesia, Luxembourg, Myanmar, Namibia, Peru, Romania, Saudi Arabia, Spain, Sweden, Turkey, UK, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. More about the new Australian station we mentioned last week on 2355 kHz. From its operator Christopher O'Reilly, via Craig Seeger in Australian DX News. An experimental broadcast was launched on April 17th. His ham call is VK4MTV, but this station is VK4TRP. He says, an adult alternative contemporary format, exciting and unique world music, emphasizing Australian music and content. A wide selection of genres, reggae, ska, R&B, rock, house, underground electronic party genres and artists. Maybe overseas artists, but mostly focusing on what's Australian. Or TRP, the sounds of the tropical north, aiming to cover metro and rural Australia. There's consideration in applying for a 60-meter license and broadcasting in SQAM on that as well. Every AM frequency will be in SQAM, so anyone with an SDR or shortwave radio modified with an addition of a decoder chip will be able to hear the broadcast in stereo. And there is no pre-emphasis. Audio setting is flat in accordance with the Australian standard AM broadcast band. And Craig Seeger adds, another one is coming soon, 4DX, on 5055 kHz. Watch this space. Azerbaijan and Nan. Mike Cooper forwards a story from the Washington Post, May 15th. She covered human rights for VOA in Azerbaijan. Now she is in jail. Ulviya Ali reported for Voice of America for years. Trump's moves to dismantle the U.S.-funded outlet may have put her at greater risk. Azerbaijani authorities hit her with a travel ban, but allowed her to walk free until May 7th, when police raided her home and arrested her sometime after 11 p.m. Ali is being accused of currency smuggling, a charge levied against other journalists in the country. Her mother told the Washington Post that her daughter was then tortured in a pre-trial detention facility, police and interrogators dragging her by the hair, beating her over the head, and threatening to violate her ladyhood until she surrendered her phone and laptop passwords. Azerbaijan, an authoritarian country, is ranked 167 out of 180 in Reporters Without Borders Press Freedom Index. Well, there's much more to this story, which is in the Washington Post of May 15th. The Hardcore DX, Rodolfo Grimm in São Paulo, Brazil, updates us on the shortwave situation there as of his monitoring the afternoon of May 9th. Everything indicates that Rádio Brasil Central's shortwave transmissions have been definitively terminated for several weeks. No info from other people who heard these frequencies active, and there is even a tendency for the shortwave transmission of the station to be terminated, that is, formerly on 4985 and 11815. I also keep checking for it in band scans and nothing heard. However, Rudolfi says on May 10th, Radio Voz Missionaria is back on the air on 25 meters, off frequency, 11748.84. Heard May 10th at 1440. All three frequencies vary considerably, 5939.24, and 9665.03. Chad Nan, one of few signals on band when I was monitoring May 13th at 0629, 15505. That's a new frequency for Radio Honduras International, the target broadcast for Chad. This hour is via Wolverton, UK. The following hour, on the same frequency, at 07 to 08 UT, is via Ascension. Ben Cobb forwards a Miami Herald story of May 9th by Nora Gomez Torres. Radio Martí is back on the air. Here's why its signal is likely not reaching Cuba. Because its shortwave transmitters remain silent. Programming is only available online and through a secondary AM signal from Marathon in the Florida Keys, easier for Cuba to jam. Only one contractor had been called back to work at Greenville, North Carolina, to ensure the safety of that old technology. Full-time staffers were brought back to work at the station's office in Doral. Rody Marti has been unable to resume its full programming. Seven contractors previously fired have been called back, but some produce videos for social media or write for the news site, not involved in radio-related work. Local Bill Tilford comments, "Sad that the least effective and most badly behaved child of the USAGM family is the one getting the most heroic medical efforts. Latin America is a big place with a lot of problems. Focusing that much of U.S. government broadcasting assets on a small nation in the Caribbean is a misallocation of resources from a diplomatic and national security perspective. Why not convert Radio Martí into a broader Radio Panamericana or some similar title? And those Cuban-American campaign donors and their friends paying to keep congressmen supporting Martí can spend that money leasing time on a station like WRMI instead." Tentatively filed under Europe, since it's probably a pirate from there, a signal slightly below 4850. May 12th at 0629, I put it on 4849.94. A barely audible carrier for me, but others were hearing some modulation. John Jurasek in Florida was hearing it from at least 0430 on May 12th, and a remote receiver in Ireland was getting S7 reception. And then Ron Howard was hearing it too via remote in Knoxville, Tennessee, after 0530 to 0600, too weak to make out anything. And I was hearing that JBA carrier again on May 15th at 0639. Terry Kogan of Texas Radio Shortwave is carrying out some tests via shortwave radio in Germany. Reports very much wanted. They are Sunday, May 18th at 18 UT on 3975 and 6160. And Wednesday, May 21st at 2000 on the same two frequencies. And he would like comparisons with how the other German station is being received, Channel 292, on 3955 and 6070. Via Caricalio, the upcoming schedule of Jazz AM, according to John's newsletter, these are on Sundays only the next 3 weeks. May 18th and 25th on 9670, at 10 to 11 UT and 21 to 22. And then on Sunday, June 1st, the first broadcast at 10 to 11 on 9670, but the 21 broadcast on 3955. Ron Howard in California has been monitoring Voice of Indonesia via remotes in that country, and there have been some major changes in their schedule. He reports on May 9th, 4755 heard, until sign-off at 2301. It was announcing in Japanese, and then into the English program Indonesia Today. That frequency then cut off the air. While checking 3325, it was still on the air at 2303 with Indonesia Today, and it was parallel to their web stream. Its new schedule, according to their website, is all the way from 23 until 11 UT every day. He says it's the same program he had heard in the past via WRMI at 08 to 09 UT. It's very different from the usual variety of VOI language programs, totally in English. Contemporary upbeat type of programming. And the announcer is a DJ, including weather reports for Indonesian cities. He checked again on Sunday, May 11th, and found the same results around 2300. On May 12th, he tuned in earlier at 2055 and found both frequencies were in French, and then they went into news in English at 2100. But that was a special occasion, a holy day called Waisak, live from a temple. Since the PKK laid down their arms, we expected Denge Gel no longer to be on the air, and Turkish jamming, but they were still heard on May 14th by Wolfgang Büschel, listening to the Qatar remote, 11520.003, with the Erdogan jamming at 1517 UT, while Denge Gel, tentatively via Armenia, was on 11529.003. 0.997, almost 10 kilohertz away, escaping the jamming. This, of course, was filed under Kurdistan Non. Luxembourg is back on shortwave in the British TX Club. Christian Gibaudot in France reports the Brazilian format station Radio Onda testing from Jungmünster, Luxembourg on 6140. Schedule is 06 to 16 UT, Monday to Friday, and 06 to 19 on Saturday and Sunday. Tony Rogers in Birmingham was getting a decent signal at 0645 UT. Mike Cooper forwards news from the Democratic Voice of Burma website, May 10th. Radio Free Asia Burmese service closes permanently. It announced May 9th, marking a significant loss for independent journalism in Myanmar, where press freedom is already severely restricted by the regime, which seized power in a 2021 military coup. The VOA Burmese language service has also gone silent since March 16th, pending legal and financial clarification in order to resume its operations. The RSF 2025 World Press Freedom Index ranks Myanmar 169 out of 180 countries, near the bottom of the list with the least amount of media freedom. And the Sik Yung of the Northeast Asian Broadcasting Institute in Seoul, Korea, says RFA's Korean service, transmitted from Taiwan, also ended on May 9th with no separate farewell comment. Robert Wilson of Glasgow, Scotland, tells the World of Radio Group about his holiday vacation for 3 weeks in Namibia, staying with extended family in a rural area south of Windhoek, and he tells about listening to domestic Namibian broadcasting on FM only, in English, Afrikaans, and even German. He says there's been talk about bringing back shortwave to NBC, but the costs would be way over the top. It is clear that the operation as a whole is very low budget, although professionally done. NBC say that only about 2/3 of the population can pick up services clearly on FM, so you can never tell what may happen in the future. Peru, Ron Howard says, 4810, Radio Logos, a religious station, was heard May 12th at 0220 via remote in Lima, Peru. It had been off the air for several weeks, as Mike Bew in Texas had reported. But by May 12th, they played a wide variety of religious songs and time checks every 15 minutes, best heard tuning lower sideband to avoid a utility interference. It's a 1 kilowatt transmitter, built in 2012, as collaboration between Ethnic Radio, HCJB Global, and a local evangelical church. Their website, radiologoschasuta.com, shows the schedule starting at 08 UT in the native language, and the final program starting at 0230. Ike Abirut notes that Radio Romania International has another transmitter problem, and from May 4th, they went to a backup schedule. Different frequencies for many of the broadcasts, and obviously a different transmitter. But it's a confusing situation. It appears that some of the broadcasts are on the original frequency for A25, and others, even on the same day, are on the backup frequency. For example, English at midnight UT May 13th was on 11620, not the other frequency, 9550. Stephen Luce and I wonder, why would RRI need to change frequencies due to a transmitter failure when an alternate unit should simply run the same schedule? Wolfgang Büschel replies, simply different feeder line and wave matching circuit from transmitter number 1 or 2 towards curtain arrays and azimuth directions. Stephen replies, I assume the antenna switching matrix could feed any transmitter to any antenna, but I guess that's not the case. And Kai Ludwig adds, such limited commutation possibilities are common for old facilities. In addition, they also appear to have numerous antennas that can be used only on two adjacent bands, hence the frequency changes. Modernization in the penultimate decade was obviously limited to replacing transmitters. Now they run out of spare parts for what had been installed back then. Harold Zoller says on May 13th, English at 22 UT was on 9740, the replacement frequency, not yet back on 11620. DRM was temporarily unavailable, but on May 15th, Ian Brooks in the British TX Club says English at 17 was in DRM on 13750 via International Vacuum Internet, AM, FM, and Shortwave, World of Radio 2295, a non-commercial service, as is our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for generous financial support, once again from Peter Robinson in Preston, UK, who sent a contribution via PayPal to WORADIO@yahoo.com. One may also contribute via money order or check on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. Saudi Arabia, the Republic of Yemen radio transmission on 11935 is not reported much anymore, and I haven't heard it lately, but Ron Howard reports hearing it via remote in Saudi Arabia, May 15th from 1438 until cut off suddenly at 1458 on 11935. Spanish foreign radio had been functioning well for at least a week, all four frequencies on the air during the hours they were scheduled. That is until May 14th, when the Wednesday English broadcast at 2200 was on only 15500 and 15520. The other two were obviously off the air, 17715 and 15390. Sweden man Kai Ludwig comments, IBRA radio appears to be in the process of winding down shortwave broadcasting. At a glance, some of their former ENC transmissions were already missing, and further slots from the UAE have just been canceled. Voice of Turkey English to North America at 22 UT on 11785 was missing on May 9th and 13th. I check it almost every day, especially on Sundays for their letterbox. Alan Holder on the Isle of Wight told them about interference from Brazil on 11780. The engineer replied, HFCC records show they are clear frequencies. If they are not registered as mentioned, we will reassess them. Well, I say, since Brazil refuses to participate in HFCC, how could Turkey possibly know about 11780? Alan suggests they should shift to 11790, which is open at that hour. From Radio Today in the UK, as BBC prepares to switch off its long-wave transmissions this year, marking the end of a century of broadcasting history, a new report is urging a dramatic rethink. In Still Speaking to the Nations, researcher Dr. Tobias Thorns lays out a robust case for keeping BBC Radio 4's long-wave service alive, contrary to BBC claims that long-wave is outdated, energy-intensive, and has few listeners. The report finds those arguments don't hold up under scrutiny. On energy, BBC argues longwave is inefficient, but Thorne's analysis reveals that longwave uses just 4% of BBC's analog output power. In fact, FM networks consume significantly more energy, up to 6 times as much, due to the hundreds of transmitters required to reach the same audience. Moreover, analog radios, especially longwave, use far less energy than digital radios, smart speakers, or internet-connected devices. Longwave is anything but obsolete. The shipping forecast, a maritime staple for a century, still depends on the 198 kHz signal. Yet BBC has never surveyed those rural or seafaring groups to understand their listening habits. RadioToday.co.uk also has an article, Still Speaking to the Nations, report on BBC long-wave transmissions. Via Mike Cooper, TheGuardian.com on May 11th, ministers demand BBC World Service planned for cuts as aid budget slashed. Cuts are likely to damage UK's international reputation and undermine the fight against global disinformation, given Trump's attempts to remove funding from the VOA. Tim Davey, BBC Director General, argues the government should eventually foot the bill for the service's entire budget of 400 megapounds a year, warning of a borderline crisis in public service broadcasting. Bill Tilford says another reason the U.S. needs to stay in. Russia became complacent when it got RT on U.S. cable systems and YouTube, but seen it there lately? No. Tony Pavick in B.C. says stations going online miss the point that radio is easy and portable. You don't need a computer. You don't need cell service with data charges. You don't need a satellite setup. A population on the run, refugees, has no time to top up a cell phone, no online access, and certainly no satellite TV audio. Yet stations go for the shiny toy that is the Internet. If it's one thing that China has shown, radio has the power to reach in a way that digital tech cannot. It's a shame that shortwave has become the 45 RPM single of radio. Briefly to another topic, but still filed under UK, from Australian DX News, a UK Department of Defense media release, 17 April. British soldiers take down drone swarm in groundbreaking use of radio wave weapon. It's a type of radio frequency directed energy weapon, or RFDEW, capable of neutralizing multiple targets simultaneously with near instant effect. The UK government has invested more than 40 megapounds into RFDEW research and development. It uses HF radio waves to disrupt or damage critical electronic components inside drones, causing them to crash or malfunction. I enjoy DXing some amateur beacons on 10 meters. May 14th at 22:18, I had K7EMX slant B on 28209.5. And I looked up his QRZ.com page and found it full of anti-Trump amusement, among many other illustrations. K7EMX. Now on to the serious topic of USAGM and the Voice of America. Patrick Sullivan refers us to a podcast interview he made with Steve Herman of VOA. Patrick is AC3K, and you can find it at signalstrength.org. From the forehead of Australian DX News editor Craig Seeger. I wonder if anyone has considered who is going to step up and broadcast into the United States with balanced news and views, given it is now another country with an extremist government, where disregard for the rule of law is creeping into the standard operating mode, and decisions are being made which have the potential to throw the world order and economy into chaos. From the Radio Free Asia website, additional staff would be laid off May 9th. By the end of May, half of RFA's language services will no longer produce or publish new content. Tibetan, Burmese, Uyghur, the world's only independent Uyghur language news service, and Lao already closed. On May 9th, more than 280 staff members would be laid off, almost 90% of RFA's U.S.-based workforce, overseas terminating almost 20 positions. Additional terminations throughout the month. Brian Stelter writes at CNN, Voice of America is off the air for now, gutted by President Trump, but it may soon return, partly as a vessel, for one of his favorite MAGA propaganda outlets. One America News, OAN, the amateurish far-right TV outlet, best known for promoting Trump's 2020 election lies, is going to provide news feed services to VOA and others, according to Carrie Lake, the MAGA loyalist Trump picked to run a hollowed-out VOA. Having access to OAN content is a big step toward turning VOA into the voice of Trump, an outcome that journalists at the network have feared. Trump has also ordered the federal government to stop funding NPR and PBS. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which disperses funds to them, at the direction of Congress, immediately responded that it is not a federal executive agency subject to the president's authority. TheDesk.net reports that X suspends account linked to VOA workers on May 5th. It was suspended from the platform X, formerly Twitter, for unspecified policy violations. It was called Save VOA Now, part of a cross-platform advocacy initiative to raise public awareness on federal spending and employment cuts involving VOA. This and some of the previous stories were quoted in Australian DX News. Ian Mike Cooper, the Los Angeles Times of May 14th, has a piece written by someone from Somalia, Boya J. Farah. He says, VOA made the U.S. a superpower. Now Trump has surrendered. It shaped young people around the world, including me, as I grew up in Somalia. Before I became an American citizen, I knew America. As for OAN via VOA, Tony Pavick in BC says, better that VOA should have been entombed, never to be heard again, than to arise as this zombie. Now to other news concerning the U.S. On May 11th at 0122, I noticed that WRMI was off 5050, It's supposed to be carrying legends from 01 until 04. Then we had a report from Chris Krug in Tulsa. I saw a post on Facebook stating that Ted Randall had passed away. I really liked his music shows on WTWW when he was there. That's the only report I've received so far about his passing. The Divided Dial, a four-part series about shortwave by Katie Thornton, is now running on WRMI's On the Media and many other stations, and is also available as a podcast from WNYCstudios.org. The third episode of four has Katie visiting WBCQ, while the second episode was titled, You Must Form Your Militia Movements. Another passing of a note, medium wave DXer Chuck Hutton. The news came from Bruce Portzer of IRCA. I'm profoundly saddened to report the death of friend and longtime IRCA-NRC member Chuck Hutton. He passed away on May 9th from congestive heart failure. He'd been suffering from several other health problems. A telecoms engineer, Chuck moved to Seattle in the mid-90s, worked for AT&T and Boeing. Before retiring, he liked to build and experiment with antennas and was an avid de-expeditioner who eagerly sought out Asianam Down Under DX. I've been on more de-expeditions with him than anyone else, says Bruce. Many legendary places up and down the Pacific coast. Chuck was an entertaining and likable person, a source of great conversations. I'm going to miss his offbeat sense of humor and his knowledge of medium wave propagation and antennas. Rest in peace, Chuck, says Bruce Portzer. Cheers Hamvention in Xenia, Ohio, is May 16th to 18th. And Bill Baker of Information Station Specialist says during the event they're running a special radio station on AM 1620 for news, weather, traffic, and fun each day. In medium wave circle, Carl Zuck reports that WRCR 1700 was the last station in his area providing any local news, weather, and info, but it switched to a WABC simulcast of 770 on May 6th. RC Biz Journal reported that WABC had purchased it. But Andrew Braid says Radio Insight reported the change to WRCR, relaying WABC, is unlikely to be permanent. The city of license has changed from Ramapo to Haverstraw, and it does plan to have local programming. From space.com via Mike Terry, strongest solar flare of 2025 erupts from the sun. Roared to life early May 14th, a powerful X-class flare from a newly emerging sunspot, peaking at 0825 UT, triggering strong R3 level radio blackouts across Europe, Asia, and the Middle East. The propagation outlook from SWPC, issued before this on May 12th, predicted ANKNSEs peaking at 30 and 5 on May 29th, 25 and 5 before and 20 and 5 after that date. Solar flux rising from 115 May 18th to a peak of 145 June 1st to 4th. At deadline May 15th, this just in from our VOA informant. I just got notice that all PSC employees are terminated, effective May 30th. I guess this is the end. PSC means personal service contractor. All the worker bees at Greenville are PSC. For much more info, consult our website, worldonradio.com. With many thanks to all our contributors and stations, hoping you'll hear me again next week. Glenn Hauser here concluding World of Radio 2295 with a standard disclaimer.